At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
So, should we go electric?
I think we should go electrified with Toyota.
Electrified?
Electrified means options. Yes, we could go all electric with a Toyota bZ4X, but then there are hybrids like Grand Highlander. Or we could do something in between like a RAV4 plug-in hybrid.
So, Toyota is electrified diversified?
Yep, and with more options for reducing carbon emissions, the closer we all get to Toyota's Beyond Zero vision for the future.
Exactly how much coffee have you had this morning?
Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.
Welcome, everyone, to SI Media with Jimmy Traina. Thank you so much for listening. Really, really good show this week. First time for me having on Booga McFarland from ESPN, handles college football analyst role in NFL, works with Chris Berman on NFL Primetime on ESPN+. Great conversation with Booga about college football playoff, Alabama in over Florida State. And his broadcasting career, really enjoyed the conversation. My first time talking to Booga McFarland on this week's episode. And then, of course, Sal Licata follows Booga with our weekly Train of Thoughts segment. Before we get to it, if you missed any recent episodes of SI Media with Jimmy Traina, go into the archives, check them out. Mike Tirico from NBC Sunday Night Football was on the pod last week. We had Mike North from the NFL, VP of Broadcast Planning, on the podcast 2 weeks ago to talk about NFL scheduling issues for the rest of the season. Ian Eagle was on the pod 3 weeks ago. So if you missed any of those, go into the archives and check them out. All right, let's get to this week's show. Booga McFarland, followed by Train of Thoughts with Sal Licata, all right here, right now, on SI Media with Jimmy Traina. All right, joining me now, very happy to have him. First time on with me is host of the SI Media podcast from ESPN, covers college football, NFL, had quite a week at the Worldwide Leader. He is Booga McFarland. Booga, thanks for joining me. How are you?
Jimmy, I'm doing well, man. After it's kind of funny, you know, I listen to you all the time. I enjoy sampling a lot of different podcasts, and yours is one of them. So after 10 years in the industry, I finally get a chance to be on the media podcast.
Well, I appreciate that. That means a lot. I had no idea. I don't think you wanted to come on when you were on the crane. Well, we wouldn't have had fun with that. So,
well, listen, here's the thing, is that I'm one of the rare people that can listen to criticism and not become bitter. Yeah. So even though I heard a lot of the things a lot of people said, you included, I don't get bitter about it because you're just doing your job, man.
Well, I don't think I ever criticized you. I can criticize whoever decided to put you on the crane.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, and here's the truth, because I know ESPN PR right now probably wants to strangle me. I had heard through the grapevine back in those days that ESPN hated it when I referred to it as a crane. And as soon as I heard that, then I was going to do nothing but call it a crane.
So. You know, here's the funny thing about it, man.
That's the truth. And that's the truth.
Oh, I get it. Here's the funny thing about it. Like when it was first brought to me, I was like, interesting. So how exactly am I supposed to see the game? And we started going through a lot of different scenarios. And I flew out to Los Angeles and we started building this thing. And I had no idea what to expect when that first you know, like that first iteration of it. But once I got up there and we started to kind of understand what they were trying to do, I thought we could have done it without the Crane slash Booger Mobile, because what they wanted was a field analyst very similar to what they had in college football with Todd McShay and Tom Luginbill. And the good thing with those guys is they get to roam around. They can go in the end zone. They can walk up and down the sideline. They can be closer to the action. Because when you were on the Booger Mobile, we could only go so far on the sideline, so I was limited. Whereas if I was on foot, I could have gone a lot of different places. I give ESPN a lot of credit for trying to be innovative and trying to do a lot of different things. I think even the most staunch supporter of it would probably say, eh, if I had a do-over, I'd probably do something different. But I give them credit for trying.
Listen, here's the thing. If that would have worked, then every single network would have someone on a Crane right now, because that's what the sports television industry is everyone copies everyone. And I give you a massive amount of credit, because I've said this before, and I hope you've heard me say this. You know, you do 2 years of Monday Night Football, doesn't work out. You do a bunch of studio stuff. ESPN's got you all over covering a bunch of different things. I had you on pregame, Monday Night Football, college football. And you've become one of the best analysts on TV in the studio. I mean, I think you deserve a massive amount of credit for that. I really enjoy – I'm one of these animals on a Saturday afternoon who sits there and watches every college football game just because I'm betting it all. And I see you do the highlights, the cut-ins, the halftime. And I always think you do a phenomenal job with that stuff. We saw, obviously, this past weekend with the selection show, which we'll get into, you didn't hold back there. So I think you deserve a massive amount of credit, because for a lot of people that could have, you know, maybe had them not want to do certain things. Maybe, you know, it hurts them in being in sports media, but you rolled with the punches and, you know, here you are.
Well, it was one of those things that, you know, I never got into this industry to call games. And so when it was brought to me, hey, would you like to call some games? I started with some spring games, did a couple bowl games. And literally, you know, when the idea about Monday Night Football came up, I had never thought about it. Like, I was on a driving range trying to get my 7-iron to go right to left when I got the phone call. I still remember it to this day. And so the fact that it didn't turn out better didn't put me in a position where I was ready to give up on broadcasting, because I enjoy talking to people. I'm a people person. And so I always knew that this was a job that I could do, as far as being in the studio, being amongst a group of people, whether it be in studio, on site with Monday Night Countdown, whatever it is. I enjoy conversing with people about sports, because I think I'm one of the rare people that can give an opinion, that can take an opinion, that can give criticism and take it, and it's not personal. Sometimes as analysts, we allow things to become personal to us, and it starts affecting not only you, but it affects your relationships. And I've never taken sports that serious. Like, this is entertainment, man. I'm trying to entertain people and have some fun. I mean, this is not life or death. And so I think that attitude has allowed me, even when something has been given and or taken away as far as a role or a job, I've been able to continue to move forward. Because, I mean, I'm in this industry now, Jimmy. This is my 10th year. That's 1 year longer than I played pro football. And every time I think about that, I pinch myself. So, man, I enjoy what I do. And I tell everybody, it beats working for a living.
Yeah. Yeah, listen, I was going to actually get into that with you a little bit about whether you are so surprised by – not so surprised, whether you're a little surprised by the reaction of what happened with Florida State being left out. Just to set it up, I want to get into what you said. And when I say so, I don't mean – listen, I get why Florida State alums are pissed off. I get why you would be disappointed with the point you made about why we play the games. But when you see – like what I saw this morning, that Florida, they're going to spend – the government down there is going to spend $1 million investigating this. You know, and it's like, wait. What are we doing here? What are we doing here?
Yeah. It's one of those things, man, where we're passionate about a lot of things in life, none more than college football. Right. Like, people are more passionate about college football than they are professional football. And so I do understand it. The thing that really bothered me is this, Jimmy. Like, football has given me everything in my life. And it started at a very young age, where a bunch of coaches, some young, some old, some black, some white, told me this. If you want to be anything in life, you got to understand how to be a part of a team. And when you're part of a team, you're no bigger than the next person. That's what makes teamwork great. I teach my kids that. And football has taught me so many valuable life lessons, and I use them every day. And to see this team persevere, to be 10-0, lose their starting quarterback, go on the road at Florida, regardless of how good you think Florida is, doesn't matter. They beat Florida. They lose the second team quarterback. They take the third team quarterback, go to a neutral site, and beat the committee's number 14 team in Louisville, a Louisville team that was scoring 30, 40 points a game. They're holding the 6 points. And so now they're undefeated in a Power 5 conference. That's not their own doing. You told them they were in a Power 5 conference, and they did it. And now, because of what you think, and by you, I mean 13 people in the room. 13 people in the room removed from the game of football, tried to play the game of football, Jimmy, inside of a room that had four walls. Sports are not played like that. Sports are played on grass. Sports are played on a field. Hell, we saw on Friday night when Oregon was a 10-point favorite, and I know you and Cousin Sal like to play the books a little bit, mm-hmm. so you understand mm-hmm. what I'm talking about when it comes to gambling. Yep. Oregon yep. was a 10-point favorite over Washington. They lost. Yep. Okay, Tulane was a favorite over SMU. SMU won. And so you don't know, even the best in Vegas don't know. And for the 13 people in the room to think they know really took me aback a little bit, and to take that away from kids who earned it on the field because of selfishness. And here's what I mean by that. They decided they didn't want Florida State to look a certain way, and they decided Florida State couldn't compete a certain way, and so they took it away and gave it to Alabama. And to me, that's not right. And I felt I had to stand for something on that set, because not that they were going to change my opinion, but Greg and Kirk, and it was almost like it was building, because Kirk started and Kirk said four best and they got it right. And I'm like, Kirk, you play football. Like, you were a quarterback. Like, how can you say they got it right? And for Greg to say it, like, it just bothered me, because we all played. And again, I value other people's opinion. And I just talked to you about not taking things personal. I didn't go to Florida State. But I just put myself in the room with those kids, man, and I got really bothered by that.
Yeah. Well, I was actually on your side. I thought they should have taken Florida State from the simple point that you had made. Why are you playing the games then? I mean, if they played the games, they went undefeated, they're not in, why did they bother trying the entire season? I mean, isn't that what I actually thought Florida State should have been, and I still think they should have been. You called it on the air a travesty to the sport, which got a ton of reaction.
Yeah.
Why do you think it got so much reaction? I mean, I don't think what you gave out was such an outlandish opinion.
Because college football evokes the most reactions on social media, if you haven't noticed over the years. Yeah. There's nothing like a fan base scorn. Okay, it's worse right. than a woman's scorn. Like, there's nothing right. like a fan base that's told their school can't do this, their quarterback is not this, because we all have a school affiliation. We all may not have pro affiliations or pro teams, but we all have some type of school affiliation where we live, where grandmother graduated, where our dad went, where we graduated. And so I just think that it's one of those things also where social media tends to become unglued when there is a topic where everybody can choose a side and nobody's wrong. And this is one of those topics
right.
where everybody can choose a side, whether you love the sport, whether you don't, whether you know the sport or you don't, and everybody can come unglued and everybody can be involved. And so I think those two reasons are the why it gained so much traction. You had people on CNN talking about Florida State being left out. Right. And I'm like, this is not really a political issue. Mm-hmm. It's a news issue, I guess. But everybody wanted to be involved because it was such a passionate and such an emotional topic.
So it's so funny you said all this, because you've touched on some areas I wanted to go into with you, because I agree with what you say. I'm here in New York. So here in New York, college football is not a big deal on any level whatsoever. Right. So it took me a little while to learn through social media how crazy everyone is with the college football. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I've noticed is, I don't know how you do it, and I don't know how you feel about it, but I feel like someone like you, it's almost impossible to discuss the sport, because everyone thinks everyone's biased and there's all these conspiracy theories. So, like, for instance, earlier this season, there was the thought that Fox was protecting Jim Harbaugh, because Fox has the Michigan-Ohio State game and they have the Big Ten now. Now people think that Reese Davis and Kirk and that you guys are protecting the SEC because the SEC is going to ABC and ESPN next year. So there's that whole conspiracy theory. There's the, you know, Greg McElroy went to Alabama. How could, of course he wants Alabama. You know, I saw people were saying Kirk is, it was the great video of Kirk and Chris Fowler in their booth about to call Florida State Florida when Alabama had the fourth and 32, 37 against Auburn.
Yeah.
Kirk and Fowler go crazy. And people are saying, oh, that proves Kirk Fowler, Kirk Herbstreit's bias for Alabama. Meanwhile, he went to Ohio State. So the conspiracy theories aren't even rational. They're completely deranged. But I don't know how you guys cover that sport. Everything's a conspiracy. Everyone's biased. It's crazy.
Well, the reason you cover it is because of the passion. And the reason you don't like it sometimes is because of the passion. And because every game counts. So here's the thing about college football that's so different than the pros. In the pros, the best team in professional football right now, everybody will say it's San Francisco. They've already lost three times. Okay? Dabo Swinney loses three times at Clemson. They want to fire. Every game matters. Right. Every game counts, Jimmy. And so you cover a sport that every single Saturday, something may happen where you go, wow, how's that going to affect the end of the season? Pro football is not like that. And so we cover it because of the passion. We cover it because five dudes can go to a campus and 10,000 people will gather around and listen to them talk. Call College Game Day or Big Noon Kickoff, wherever you want to go. That's how much passion and emotion that this sport brings out. And I think that's why we cover it. I mean, Pat McAfee can stand up and start singing, and he's got the entire audience playing out of the palm of his hands because of the sport. And I think all those emotions wrapped up lead us to Saturdays, because Saturdays are so fun, because ultimately it's entertainment. It's 17 to 22 year olds entertaining us. There's a lot of high stakes involved. But unfortunately, here's what's happening now, is that the sport that we used to know is starting to disappear because NIL and because of this new 12-team playoff, and there's so much money involved. And I just wonder, and let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. I wonder, in the next 5 years, do you think the sport's the same? And I don't mean the same as in the teams that are powerhouses, Alabama, Ohio State, all that. I mean the same as it's the pure emotion, and it's about the name on the front of the jersey. Is that the same in the next 5 years?
I think it will be. I do think it will be. I don't see it changing that much. I do think. I mean, it is wild when you see how many people are in the transfer, how many of these kids are in the transfer portal. But I think what that does is, I think the transfer portal is helping bad teams get better quickly and making them more relevant. And that, as long as, I think you hit on this. I think there's so much nonsense surrounding, maybe nonsense isn't, but there's so much outside of what takes place on the field that dominates the sports. Like you said, the NIL, the transfer portal, the salaries these coaches get, all of it. But I think for most people, you're in it. But for most people, I think like me, they want to sit their fat ass down on a chair on Saturday at noon and bet every game and watch every game till the Pac-12 game. Well, the Pac-12 doesn't exist, but to whatever game ends at 2 a.m. and just enjoy the day and watch all the games and, you know, watch, the, you know, 3:30 ABC, this SEC. I don't think that's going to change.
OK, well, I sure hope it does. I don't think it will. But sometimes when you're so ingrained in it that you can't see the big picture, I hope that part of it doesn't change.
Yeah. Do you also think, I mean, there's also part of me that thinks this complete anarchy that we have had since Sunday at noon. I just wonder, when all is said and done at the end of the day, it's good for the sport.
In a weird, twisted way. Right. I think it's going to bring a ton of eyes to the Orange Bowl, because everybody's going to want to see what Florida State does against Georgia, where they can say, see, I told you.
Right.
It's not the same team 30 days later. Right. Because you don't know who's going to show up in the bowl game. You don't know what their motivation is. I think when you look at the semifinals, Michigan, Alabama, I wonder if Alabama goes in because of how they got in, if they are the good guy or the bad guy. You know, are they the villain because they knocked out the undefeated team? How do fans view Alabama? I think that's going to be an interesting thing. I think the most talented team in the entire playoffs is Texas. And it's going to be an interesting story, because of the story and the history of Steve Sarkisian, of the things that he's dealt with in his past to where he is now at Texas. Everybody's still trying to replace Mac Brown, the legend. Can Steve Sarkisian finally get Texas over the hump and achieve what Mac Brown did, which is a national title? To me, that would be one of the greatest redemption stories I think we've ever seen. So, like, there's so many storylines that I can't wait to watch.
Yeah. You hit on something I hadn't thought of, because I feel like the country as a whole roots against Alabama because they have so much success, Nick Saban, but the cheating scandal at Michigan, will that cause it? I can't see people rooting for Alabama. It's going to be interesting to see what people, what people will pull for in that game. I mean, I'm pulling for Alabama because I'm going to bet Alabama, but you know, it's a little bit dirty rooting for Nick Saban, but I just think, you know, Michigan hasn't seen a team like this all year. So that's
I'd bet Alabama too, even though Michigan opened as a 1-point favorite. I think Vegas, that was a sucker line. Yeah. I would guarantee you, I guarantee you by game time, it's either a pick 'em or Bama will be favored by 1.5 or 2.
Are you allowed to bet on the games as an analyst?
I've never asked. I don't. I've never even asked.
Got it. I wanted to ask you one thing about the Florida State situation before we switch topics. If Oregon had beat Washington, mm-hmm. then do you think they would have taken Florida State and left out Oregon?
No, because if you go back to a few of the rankings, Oregon was always the highest one-loss team. So the committee had already told us they thought Oregon was the best one-loss team in the country. So I don't see how that, even though to me it would have just been, it may have changed the order a little bit.
Right.
But I think the winner of Oregon and Washington was going to get in based on either Washington being undefeated and their resume, or Oregon, we thought, was the best one-loss team, and a Pac-12 championship would only enhance their resume.
So then do you think it would have been a harder pill to swallow for Florida State, where 2 1-loss teams would have got in over them getting an undefeated Florida State getting in?
Oh, listen, I don't know if the pill would be harder to swallow.
Yeah.
But I do think that the fan base probably would have pointed out more warts. Right now, nobody's pointing out warts on Michigan or Washington because they're undefeated. Everybody's pointing at Alabama. So it would have just given them another team to point out some more warts on.
Yeah. You know, so the argument is Florida State undefeated. What more were they supposed to do? Then the other side of the argument is 4 best teams. But I do think what's interesting is, whereas college football, maybe you think it's different than the pro sports, but in a way, it's seemingly just like every other sport now. I mainly think about the NFL and baseball, especially, which the postseason is all about getting hot at the right time. You know, that Alabama loss to Texas came so early in the season. If it comes later in the season, who knows what happens there? I mean, the lesson too is you've got to be hot at the right time of the season.
Yeah, but back to what we said earlier about college football, why do people get so inflamed about it? It's because every game matters, Jimmy. Like, every game matters, whether it's 1 or 13, like, they all matter. That's what makes the sport so great. But the committee told us every game doesn't matter, because Alabama could lose to Texas, and then Alabama could look crappy against South Florida. Alabama could need a miracle to beat Auburn. It's okay. They beat Georgia, so they're the greatest team alive now.
Right, right, right. Yeah. I mean, listen, I think at the end of the day, it's going to piss people off to hear this, but the ratings for Michigan, Alabama are going to be through the roof. They're going to be the roof. Yeah.
Do you think they got it right? Let me ask you that. Do you think, as somebody who's outside of the college football SEC bubble, do you think they got it right?
I think Florida State should have gone in and Alabama out based on Florida State being undefeated. I don't like punishing Florida State because their quarterback got hurt.
I got you. Yeah, okay.
I mean, there are how many other kids on that team? And they're all screwed now because the quarterback got hurt after going undefeated. I don't like that. I just don't. That doesn't sit well with me.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And I also think, if the theory is going to be 4 best teams, you're telling me Georgia's still not one of the 4 best teams in the country?
Exactly.
Like, you know, Georgia would beat Alabama by 21 points, I bet, if they play. Georgia would beat Michigan. Georgia would beat Michigan. Michigan hasn't seen a team like Georgia in their lives.
I was talking to a buddy earlier, and he said that he checked in with, I think, DraftKings. and said that potential lines would have Georgia favored over every team in the playoffs right now.
Right. Right.
Because what they're going to say is, with given a month, you're going to have a healthy Bowers, you're going to have a healthy McConkie, everybody's going to be healthy in rhythm, and a healthy Georgia is favored over Texas, Bama, Michigan, and Washington.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think that the Big Ten, I mean, those teams are so bad in the Big Ten. And even like Penn State's supposed to be a good team, and they're not that good. I mean, I think Michigan would be shell shocked if they got on a field with Georgia. That's what I think. But
yeah,
I'm not an expert.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit leesa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.
You know, I had written down in a note to ask you, because you do both, are you more passionate about covering college football or the NFL? It clearly seems like college football. Tell me what it's like covering the NFL in terms of like the differences. You talk about the passion, but do you feel like you're passionate about the NFL as well? Is it different? How is it different than college? Tell me about that.
I think the different nuances between the NFL and college, in college, you're talking about young kids, amateurs. NFL, you're talking about grown men. And so I think you can be more critically, more professionally critical in your analysis in the NFL, because they're not looking for, you know, they don't want the emotion, because a lot of them take it personal. They just want fair, honest criticism or fair, honest praise about what you're talking about. And so I think because you're talking to grown men, the level of acceptance of your analysis is there. But you better be right, okay? You better be fair, and you better be right. Sometimes analysts have an axe to grind. I'm not going to say which one, but some of them do. But for the most part, when you're in the NFL and you played the game, there's a level of respect that you get, number one. Number two, if your analysis is fair and honest, there's another level of respect that you'll get. And I think thirdly, and most importantly, the biggest difference is that the NFL is such a big business, and there's such an appetite for that big business, and there's so much more money involved in the National Football League with betting and things like that. Like, I think the interest, whereas there's more passion in college football, I think there's more interest overall when it comes to pro football for analysis and breakdowns and analytics and all these different things. Like, there's so many much more, because fantasy football is involved. So I just think the scope of which you can analyze the pro game is so much more massive than college football. College football, hey man, tell me why my team's going to win. Tell me why they're going to lose. Pro football, I need to know who's catching the ball, where they're catching it, what offensive guard is did. Like, we, there's so many more metrics involved in pro football, which, again, there's more money involved, there's more metrics, and there's more interest in it.
Yeah. Yeah, it blows me away how much the NFL just dominates this country. Another, I think it was 29 million watched Eagles and Niners on Sunday. I was surprised, you know, I saw that, I don't know, do you pay attention to the numbers, to the ratings? Do you care about that at all?
Yeah,
you
I, don't do. Pay? I do.
I no, thought I do. It was what I thought it was interesting that Georgia, Alabama drew 17 million and Michigan, Ohio State drew 19 million, 2 million more. I wonder, you know, we feel like it's all about the SEC, college football, all about the SEC. Yeah. And here you got 2 million more people watched Michigan, Ohio State, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, a couple of reasons. Number one, it was a 2-3 matchup. It's when you start talking sports in general, get away from football and just say, name me the greatest rivalries in sports. You're probably not going to get to 5 before you say Michigan, Ohio State. Right. All right? So you got a highly ranked matchup. You got one of the more hated rivals. And I'm learning this, and I didn't know this, being from Louisiana. They don't like each other. Like, Michigan people and Ohio State people don't like each other. And I didn't know it was this deep until I started talking to some friends of mine. Like, they want to fire Ryan Day, Jimmy. I'm like, the dude's 56-7. He's not good enough. I'm like, what? Like, what? Are you kidding me?
One of my best friends, my buddy Gennaro, went to Michigan as a Michigan fan. And the night before the game, he texted me. And he's been telling me for years that he can't describe what that game means to him. And the night before, he said to me, the only thing I care more about than this game are my wife and my two daughters. And I wrote him back and said, well, I'm offended. He goes, so are my parents and my sister. Like that, like, and he was not apologetic about that. He was dead serious. That is something I've definitely had to learn over the years, is that game, they don't care if they like, Michigan would rather beat Ohio State and then lose in the national title game.
I completely agree with you. And that's exactly what my buddy said. He's like, if you told me that we could beat Michigan and we went to the Rose Bowl and lost, it's been a great year.
Yeah.
Like, dude, you have lost your mind. And so to your point about the ratings, so you add that on top of what we already have, how fanatical and crazy people are about college football. And I think I thought one of the greatest things that's happened in our industry, and my company's not going to like this, is Fox putting their best game at noon.
Right.
Okay. Because Fox has made a decision that they're going to own. They're trying to own the 10 to 12. You can debate how they get there with the numbers and all that. But from 12 to 4, they've decided we're going to try to own that window. And they're putting their best game there. And even though the game doesn't kick off until 12:15, wink, mm-hmm. wink, they are doing their best to own that window. And it's one of the smartest things. And as a fan, guess what? As a fan, I get great football at 12 o'clock. I don't have to wait until 3:30 CBS or until 7:30 or 8:30 on ABC. So I commend Fox for doing that. I think it's been one of the great things that a network has done in the last 5 years.
Yeah, I mean, listen, they it's smart when they have the good game at noon. There have been times where it's, you know, Michigan State against, I don't know, Iowa. It's not a, you know,
yeah, that's not good. Pretty.
Yeah. I do think it's going to be very interesting next year when ABC/ESPN gets the SEC from CBS, because those, while more people may watch the noon game at Fox, and I think that has to do with there's less competition, more times than not, that best game is the 3:30 SEC game, and that's coming to you guys. So would you ever want to go? Would you ever want to? You told me you never wanted to get into it to be a game analyst. Would you ever want to do games for college in the booth?
Yeah, I still, and not just college, I still want to get back in the booth. I think that, you know, the one thing I've learned, you know, other than Tony Romo, like if you look at a lot of the analysts that are very good, seasoned, you look at Troy, you look at Charles Davis, you look at Moose Johnson, like guys that have been in doing it a long time. Those guys are seasoned guys. They've been there a long time. And so ultimately, if and when I get tired of the studio, I'll put forth the effort to get the reps and get seasoned the way those guys have. and try and give it another go. College football, pro football, I enjoy talking about football. Like there's nothing that's been better to me in my life than football. There's nothing I've enjoyed more growing up than that 3:30 game on CBS. And, you know, ABC used to have the ESPN game because when I was in college, I played on ABC against Alabama. So you can go on and on and on. But an opportunity to do that again with as much inventory that's going to be out there. Like there's so many games that are going to be broadcasted. And there's so much inventory that all these networks are going to have. So absolutely, I would love to give it another shot.
I'd love to see you do it because I think ESPN, I've said this many, I think ESPN has a great roster of college football play-by-play folks. And I think you'd make a great team with, you know, Sean McDonough, Dave Pesch, Joe Tessitore. So I'd love to see you do it. I think it would be great. On the NFL front, I'm a huge, huge Chris Berman fan. And I think NFL Primetime, one of the greatest, if not the greatest, like studio show. Now, here you are doing Primetime with Berman on ESPN Plus. Tell me what that's like.
It is something I never in my wildest dreams thought I'd be doing. And the very first time I did it, I caught myself a couple of times just staring at him as he was doing it. Because, you know, he's whoop! And he's got all these different things. And every time he did one, I'm naturally laughing and staring at him. And I'm just in awe at not only just how entertaining he makes it, but his knowledge for the game. And we talk on a weekly basis in depth. He talks to a lot of coaches. Like he does research, and people may look at their show and say, well, what's he doing that for? It's because he wants to be as knowledgeable about the product and about how he can entertain the fan. Because as he told me, he's like, here's the thing, partner. He said, my job is to serve the fan. He said, my job is to entertain the fan with this show. And he says, as long as you come into it with that mindset, that's what we're doing. And he's welcomed me in, Jimmy, with his arms wide open. It's been fun. It's nothing I enjoy doing more than prime time with him, because when that red light goes on at 7:30 on ESPN Plus, I know it's going to be fun. And regardless of whatever's going on in my life, man, we get to do the highlights. I get caught up. I learn something. And then we discuss football. I'm discussing football with one of the legends. You know, one of the things that I was really concerned about when they first asked me to do it, is you never want to be the guy to follow a legend. Like, you never want to be the guy to follow Brady, Montana, Peyton Manning. So here I am following Tom Jackson. And I'm like, how do I do it? Am I trying to be like him? And he's just like, nah, man, just do you. Be you. And I went into the first show with this, and I tell him this now, with this approach. I'm going to let him talk, and when he decides to take a breath, then I'll jump in. That's exactly the way I approached the first show. I'm not talking until I see him get ready to breathe. And we laugh about it now, but he's been so welcoming to me to come into that show. And everybody has, and I just try to have fun with it.
Yeah, I've always said, I don't think, you know, I think Berman's one of those people that people have strong feelings for. People love him. People hate him. Maybe people think he's become a character of himself. I'm a huge fan. And I've always said that I don't think anyone understands how hard it is to do what he does when he does those highlights. That is not easy. I think people think he's just like, you know, Mahomes, 300 yards passing, and he throws it. Like, no, he's doing that on a level that is very, very difficult. So, you know, like you said, you're sitting there right next to him and you see how he's doing it. So you get a firsthand, you know, sort of show of that.
No doubt about it. And I think the thing that people don't understand is he's got a shot sheet. And so he's got to read the shot sheet to match the highlight. And on top of that, he's got to add all the little things that he's done over the last 25, 30 years in there. And so imagine trying to read two things at once while also thinking about what you're going to emphasize and all these different things. Man, it was like I couldn't do it. And so I peel the curtain back. When I do highlights on ABC, they give us shot sheets. And so you know what's coming. I've never read a shot sheet. I don't want the shot sheet because I want to be able to look at the screen. And when Kevin sets me up, I can listen, but I can also see what I'm talking about. So I've never actually looked at a shot sheet. I don't do it. But Chris is actually he has to read the shot sheet. He cannot do that. He's got to read it and match it up. So it's difficult to do. And people that are in the industry understand, and people know that. But he's one of the founding fathers of ESPN. Like when they turned the lights on the first time he was there.
Yeah. So you don't use the shot sheet. So why do they still give it to you? Have they still, why don't they save the paper at this point?
Because I tell them I gotta have my desk looking good. When we come on camera, I need a lot of papers around. But seriously, if you ever watch when we come on ABC, I got papers everywhere. So because it has to look a certain way.
It's all a prop. It's all a prop.
There's no question.
It reminds me. I've always said this about how I've always wanted to interview Brian Gumbel just to ask him on Real Sports what he writes down in between the segments. It's like, you know, you got papers all over. You don't even. Yeah. I love that. The next time I see you and Kevin DeGondi, I'm gonna look for those papers. I'm gonna definitely.
Oh,
look for those
please
papers.
Do, please do.
I want to go back to college for one other thing. I mean, we talked about the playoff and the season. One thing from the season we didn't touch on. How do we judge Deion's season? Obviously, he got so much attention, so much press. Successful season or no? I feel like if you say it's not a successful season, like someone will throw you in jail. Like you're not allowed to, point out that it was not a good season. But you tell me.
Here's the thing I'll say, and I always try to deal in facts. Here are the facts. People said Colorado was 1-11, and Deion took Colorado from 1-11 to where they are with 4-8. That's partially true. Deion had 87 new players, I think. So Deion, the general manager, went out and got 87 new players. And so Deion's new team, not the old Colorado team, but Deion's new team went 4-8. I think that's a very fair way to look at it. And so I think what Deion understood, and he did a great job. And I think that everybody's enamored with the positivity and the way the program is headed. I think one of the things he learned very quickly that was different than in the SWAT is this is a big boy league, whether it's Pac-12, whatever, you got to have big people. And his ability to have offensive and defensive linemen that can play at a high level wasn't good this year. That's got to change going forward. And I get it. I think Colorado's going to the Big 12, understood, all that good stuff, but he's still going to have to have big people. And right now he doesn't have that. And he made a comment the other day, Jimmy, that says, and I'm going to paraphrase, that Colorado is not an ATM. And I found that very interesting because that's all college football is right now. Like right. It's NIL. It's collectives. Regardless of whether you want to fight it or not, like Dabo Swinney wanted to fight it, like you got to pay these guys. And so I just wonder how they're going to handle, and by they, I mean Colorado, how they are going to handle this ever-changing world. Because you can either fight it, and if you fight it, you're not going to get any players. If you notice, they had a mass exodus of decommitments in the last week or so at Colorado. They've had players to leave out. I don't know what they have coming. We'll see. I'll give Deion the benefit of the doubt right now because he's earned it. But if he fights it, then he's going to have a tough time getting players. And this sport is all about recruiting. If you got good talent, guess what? You can win. If you don't, you're going to lose. It's as simple as that. And so I will give Deion a B-minus his first year. Can't give him an A because he handpicked the roster that went 4-8. I'm not going to give him a failing grade because, I mean, they had one win last year and he brought so much positivity in the sold out crowds. But I do think year 2 and 3 will give us a better barometer of his long-term viability as a Power 5 coach at a big time school.
Got it. And tell me, give me some predictions on Alabama, Michigan, and Washington, Texas. What do you think the finals? What do you think our championship game will be, and who do you think is coming out ahead?
I think we're getting a rematch of what we already saw. I think Alabama beats Michigan. I don't think it's going to be close. I think Texas beats Washington. I think Texas has the most talented roster. And then you have to ask yourself, then who do you trust most in a rematch? Nick Saban or Sark? Most people would lean towards Saban. I'm going to lean toward the talent on the field. I think we get one of the greatest redemption stories we've seen. And I think Sark brings a national championship back to Austin, and the 40 acres are going to be jubilant once again.
Well, that, you know, I said earlier, I don't know in terms of America as a whole, would they lean towards Alabama or Michigan? If it was Alabama, Texas, everyone's going to be rooting for Texas, I think.
No question. Because we're and it's kind of crazy. I think we're going to be tired of seeing Alabama hoist the trophy. And it's nothing against those kids and nothing against Saban, but we got to have somebody that we got to have a villain, and we got to have somebody that we pull for.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you get into the other bowls? Will you watch a lot of the other bowl games when they get kicking in gear?
Yeah, I'll watch a little bit of it. Like, I'm an LSU guy. I got to see what my guy Brian Kelly does. I'll watch some of the more entertaining bowls, but I'm not gonna. I mean, it's like 75,000 bowls. I can't watch them all. I mean, Jesus. And guess what? We own them all but one, I think, which is the Sun Bowl in Texas, if they're still going on.
That's the proof that you're not a bettor. The bowls are there for the bettors. People don't. If you're not a bettor, you're not watching the bowls. But like the Monday afternoon bowl at 2:30 in the afternoon on ESPN, those are for the people like me.
I mean, come on, Jimmy. Liberty versus Oregon. Like, are you going to put in any money on Liberty?
Oh, you're damn right I am. Not on Liberty. I'll bet Oregon in that game. But the bowl game. There were a couple of bowl games. The LSU. Who do you guys play again? Because I said I was going to pound LSU in that game.
LSU, Wisconsin. LSU's giving 9 right now.
Okay, that game is going to be 50-7. Wisconsin has no idea what's going to happen to them when they get LSU's offense on that field. But here's the problem with betting the bowls. You got to be very careful because you don't know who's playing, who's not. You know, like Caleb Williams, for instance, not play. These coaches leave. They don't coach the games. So you have to really be on top of the. But like if the LSU quarterback is playing, Wisconsin has no chance against that team. So, but you got to. I hate the month delay. You know, not the month, but, you know, it's like a 3-week delay before the bowls.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like 3 weeks. I don't know if he's going to play. I think he's going to win the Heisman this week. And once he wins that, I think he'll figure it out at that point.
Yeah. USC, they have an interesting bowl. Yeah, but, I like the weird the weird matchups in the bowls. You get these weird teams that you would never expect. So, there's some appeal, from that standpoint. But I think Michigan, Alabama, I think that's going to be a huge, huge thing in the country. I think that's people are going to be wrapped up in that game for sure.
Yeah, Michigan, Alabama, in the Rose Bowl, that setting. And then you got the Sugar Bowl with Texas and Washington. Will you go to any of the games, or are you just going to sit there and hunker down in New York?
No, yeah, I'm in New York. I don't go to any college football games. And I will say, and I'll give you a statement since you just said it that makes me sound like the angry, dumb New Yorker. One of the narratives in sports that I am so sick of that I hate is the setting at the Rose Bowl and the scene at the Rose Bowl. Like every New Year's Eve at 5 o'clock, Twitter is filled with everyone. There's no scene like the Rose Bowl. I was like, okay. Half the time, there's like a Big Ten team in there that stinks, and let's relax with it. I don't care about the scene. Just give me give me a good game. I don't care about the scene. But I mean, I care about the scene in some places, but like I've got it with the scene at the Rose Bowl. Like people love throwing that cliche out there.
I get it. You know what? I've never been, so I'm with you. I don't know what the scene is like, but being from the South and living in Florida, I've seen sunshine before. So like the sunshine peeking over the stadium doesn't really amaze me.
Yeah. Yeah. They show that background. Okay. I've seen this background for every year that I've been alive. I got it. I'm more of an NFL guy than college, but I watch college. I love it, but I'm more of an NFL guy. So that's why maybe I don't get wrapped up in the scene at the Rose Bowl. You know, I mean, I also, I think, I don't want to just throw out all of my takes, but I'll leave it there. Well, I appreciate you coming on. This was a lot of fun. And that's another reason why it took me so long to have you on. Once the NFL season gets started, I try to have like all, I do so much NFL and I feel bad because I like college football and I watch it, but I probably have not had as many college football people on as I should. So, after I saw on Sunday you caused a stir, I said, oh, that's a perfect guy. Let me take a break with the NFL this week. Get Booger on to do the college. So I really appreciate you coming on and giving me some time here.
It's all good, Jimmy. Big fan, man. Always enjoy. I think you're fair. And most importantly, I enjoy the accent. I'm from Louisiana. I got a country accent. I enjoy the New York accent. And I must admit, I literally had never seen you before. And so now that the first time I'm seeing you, your accent doesn't match your face.
Oh, okay. I'll take that. I've lived on Long Island my whole life. So, and like the Long Island accent is even different from like a New York City accent. So there's nothing I can do about it. It's just, it's here.
It's all good, buddy. Enjoy it.
Appreciate it. Enjoy, the Final Four there and, the final game. Thanks, Booger. Appreciate it.
All right. Later, bud.
Take care.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary, indulges your senses, and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit Leesa.com/iHeart. That's Leesa.com/iHeart.
All right, joining me now, as he does every week, for our Train of Thoughts segment from WFAN Radio in New York, SNY TV in New York, my buddy Sal Akata. Sal, how's it going?
Great. Happy December.
Do you like the way I just transitioned after being an animal before we started?
I was like, ah, I'm not going to poke the bear and joke around here, but I'm glad you did.
Am I a professional or what? I was screaming like a lunatic 2 minutes ago, and now I'm all jolly and jovial.
You gave me the good shit off the air. The poor listeners of the podcast now going to miss out on that fire that I just got.
If people knew what I went through booking this podcast, they wouldn't even believe half the shit I could tell them.
Oh, man.
They wouldn't even believe it. Oh, boy. Well, now I got to put on a happy face and take the pod.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
At least I'm here for you. You got me here for you. I'm all right.
Yeah. Your station is in the middle of a great story right now with the Jets and their coach. I love it.
I'm just glad my name is not involved anywhere. I've had enough of that shit for a little while.
Let me explain this story for people outside of New York quickly so they understand what's going on. There is a very, very, very long time radio host here in New York on WFAN named Joe Beningo. But this is what confuses me. He's retired, but he's not retired. I don't understand. He's supposed to be retired, but he still does shows or whatever. And you can say diehard Jets fan, lunatic Jets fan, not all there, I think. I don't know. But diehard Jet fan, which right off the bat tells you all you need to know. And somehow he's in a texting relationship with Robert Saleh. And then he went on The Fan Monday and said that Robert Saleh, based on the texts he's gotten, hates Zach Wilson. And then he had to backtrack the next day, Beningo, and say he misinterpreted the Saleh texts, because Beningo texted Saleh that they need to play Zach Wilson again. And Saleh wrote back, "Are you kidding?" And Beningo interpreted that as, "Are you kidding? He sucks." But Saleh went, "Are you kidding? All you've done is bash the guy and say he shouldn't play. Now you're telling me he should play." And there was all this confusion. So there's so many things here. Like, one, the head coach of the Jets is texting with someone who's a fan, which is so ridiculous. It's not like, if I'm the Jets, I would fire Saleh just based on that, because he's texting about players with this guy who's a fan. But two, like, literally only the Jets. There's no other team in all of sports this would happen to. It's only the Jets. That's what I love about it.
This is a weird one because, okay, well, when we first found out I say we, I mean me and Brandon Tierney, the guy who co-hosts the show with On the Fan, that Joe had a texting relationship with Salah. This is months ago now. We were like, what the fuck are you doing? Not to Joe, to Salah. Like,
right.
Why?
Right.
We love Joe. Right. All due respect to Joe. What is Robert Salah doing having a text relationship? Now, you or I, Jimmy, like we have contacts in the media, in sports world that we text with or whatever. But like it's an adult professional relationship that like I just there's certain things you would just never air out, even with you and I, by the way.
Well, like, but the element that people outside of New York don't understand, and I actually like Joe Beningo, so this may sound right. harsh and not the way I want it to sound. When I'm just speaking about when it comes to the Jets. I'm not talking about as a human being or as a person, but when it comes to Jets, like Joe's not all there. Like there's a screw loose when it comes to the Jets. So for the Jet coach to be texting this guy, and what made it so much worse, like listen, if you just say like this radio host is texting with the coach of the Jets, like you're trying to say, like you're, like what you just said, like, okay, but he's not a media person in this case. He's a Jets fan in this case. And what made it really psychotic was in this whole story, Beningo said on the WFAN on the Monday that he texted Salah a 6-point plan to fix the Jet. So if you're Robert Salah, like you have to block this person. You don't respond. The judgment by Robert Salah here is so bad. It's frightening.
So they, I don't know how the thing started, but I just know that they had a relationship. I would assume it's, hey, here's a big voice of the Jet fan, even though he's not on every day anymore. And he comes on the Evan and Tiki show as a guest once a week on Mondays, hosts some shows on the weekends at this point. But I would assume the Jets were like, hey, just get in the good graces with Joe Beningo. Why not have Salah introduced to Joe? They played golf together. I know Salah's been on Joe's podcast. But you're
that's
right.
Fine. All that's
you're,
fine.
All right, fine. But you're right. Look no further. And Joe has talked about like, oh, I texted him after the game. And I'm like, oh, my God. But look no further than the fact that they're not just texting. Joe texted him a 6-part plan to fix the Jets.
Right. If I'm Woody Johnson, I call up Salah today. I go, this guy texted you a 6-part plan. Instead of blocking him, you responded. You're fired. Also, you can't coach. You're terrible. You got to go.
Like it's, I don't see. That's where I feel bad, though. I don't like. I hate that Robert Saleh is going to be getting shit for this when all he was trying to do was accommodate and be a nice man. Like,
well,
that's
no.
All he was trying to do.
No. If the Jets, what's the Jets record? I don't even know.
4-8.
Okay, so if the Jets were 8-4, this wouldn't be a thing.
Right.
But he's 4-8. The team's an embarrassment. The team was an embarrassment last year. He's a terrible in-game coach. Now you add this on, he's got, but now I say he's got to go. And I think in any other situation he would go, but I don't know what the, but Rodgers is running the organization. So I don't know how that mixes in with Salah. So that's what
me neither. But right. If there is going to be a change, I would assume that Nathaniel Hackett is going to be elevated to be the head coach because of Aaron Rodgers. So,
which would be hysterical. Which would be so hysterical.
I mean, but what do you think is going to happen? You think they're going to fire Salah and bring in Jim Harbaugh?
No.
And Aaron Rodgers there? Like,
I'm saying after Sean Payton said Hackett did the worst coaching on the history of the NFL, the Jets would elevate him to head coach. It would be hysterical.
Well, but can you see that based on Rodgers' relationship with him? Like, I think they're going to bring Salah back. I would bet that it's going to be they're going to double down. Off of what they did a year ago,
but
and come back and do it again.
I get what you're saying. And I think what you're saying is actually accurate. Like, if the Jets decided they wanted to fire Salah, Rodgers is going to have a choice in the matter. He's going to want Hackett. They elevate Hackett. So from that standpoint, what you say makes sense. I wonder, though, at some point, somebody in the Jet organization has to say to themselves, why are we letting a 41-year-old quarterback coming off an Achilles injury run the organization? Like, the theory that because the Jet defense is good, they can win another Super Bowl. They'll win the Super Bowl next year at Rodgers. He's 41 next year coming off Achilles. There's right. no guarantee. Like, yeah, they're going to be better because they've played this entire season without a functioning quarterback. He at least would be, even at 41, coming off the Achilles, he's a functioning quarterback. But if the ultimate goal is to, like, win a Super Bowl or go to an AFC title game, like, he's going to be 41 coming off an Achilles. And as we've seen, the entire offense sucks. It's not just right. the See, I think Zach Wilson's been vindicated. He was not the problem when Rodgers got hurt because nobody else can do anything either in that offense.
And they were even worse. The other part of this whole thing is going to be what the Jets do with the top 10 pick that they're going to have in the draft, because they clearly need a quarterback. But is Rodgers and potentially his last year going to be okay with them?
Well, they can't. No, they can't. They can't do that because his whole life, Aaron Rodgers was obsessed for 4 years with the fact that they took Jordan Love. Like, it right. was his entire being. That's right. Every interview, all he did was complain about Jordan Love.
Right, so imagine the Jets, who have Rodgers as their starting quarterback next year, all in,
right.
taking a rookie quarterback when they could use, let's say, an offensive lineman to help Rodgers this right. year. The whole thing is, it's going to be another big story.
Right.
Convoluted disaster with the Jets.
If I'm the Jets, I fire Salah, I fire Hackett, I release Rodgers, and just start from scratch.
Right.
Because even if... Because what's the best you're going to do with Rodgers if he's 41 years old next year coming off an Achilles?
I think that's one option. The only other option to me that makes sense is to just do what you did again this year. Now, I'm not saying that's right or that's what I would do, but I think it has to be as clean cut as you just said. Either you run it back with everybody and hope that it works the way that you thought it was going to last year, or you blow the whole thing up.
From a content and hilarity standpoint, I hope they run it back. But
me too, probably.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Lisa, the sleep experts. Here at Lisa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Lisa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Lisa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus 2 free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
All right, let's talk about some real teams. The Niners are winning the Super Bowl. Would you agree with that statement or not yet?
I think the fact that everybody is saying that now makes me back off that a little bit. I will say that I don't think you could dispute it, that they are the clear-cut best team in the NFL right now. How that plays out over the next 2 months, who knows? But, I mean, they are the most dominant, buttoned-up, clean, crisp team, both sides of the ball. Head coach, quarterback, running it, defense, they're the best team in the league.
So I ask you that because I noticed that the Niners are plus 310 on DraftKings to win the Super Bowl.
Are they favored or no?
Plus 310.
But that's plus, the favorite.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. They're the favorite. Yeah, yeah, they have the best odds by far. I think I have to take a flyer at this point.
see, I'm not going to do that because right now, well, I guess it could get, as the season goes on, it could get even lower, right? You're talking about +200.
Well, if they'd have to lose, they'd have to lose a couple of games.
They get Seattle this week again?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, injury happened. I personally don't love those bets, especially at this time. Like, the time to make that bet would have been when they lost to Cleveland or were in their losing streak, and you're saying, yeah, I know they're better than this. They're going to be better. Then you get great odds.
Like, you're 100% right. Yeah. No, you're 100% right. I just – this, but I feel like now I got a clearer sense of what the league is. So
right.
I'll read you the teams and the odds. You tell me who you would take a flyer on.
If I had to pick one.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the Niners are +310. The Eagles are +550. The Dolphins are +650. The Chiefs are +650. The Ravens are +800. The Cowboys are +850. I'm not going to get into the Lions and Jaguars and Texans and all that.
Boy, there's a lot of good value there.
That's what, see, I thought the best, well, I do think that not, I would, if I had to put my actual right. physical cash, it would be on the Niners. The Ravens at +800, right. I think is the best value by far.
It's funny, you kept rattling off the names. And even Philly, I was like, Philly could be interesting. What's the, by the way, where are we at with as far as the one seed? Philadelphia still has the best record, right?
Yeah.
Okay, anyway. I know Philly plays Dallas Sunday night, huge game. All right, so you mentioned Philly. I'm intrigued by that. You mentioned the Dolphins. I'm intrigued by their price. I'm intrigued even by the Cowboys. But, yeah, the Ravens, I love their coach. If Lamar stays healthy... For 8-1 odds,
like, well, here's the AFC.
I think I probably trust the Ravens more than anybody else in the AFC right now.
Exactly, that's exactly what I was going to say. I think the value on Baltimore +800 is great because it's who do you think is going to the Super Bowl from the AFC?
Right.
I got a lot of issues with the Chiefs. I don't think it's the Dolphins because they only beat up the bad teams.
They've been soft. Yeah.
The Ravens. At +800, I think are a pretty strong bet to get to the Super Bowl. So then if you got them, so I think if you bet them, you're hoping they can just pull out some upset against San Fran and you get them at +800, which
right.
you're not going to get if the Super Bowl is Niners Ravens, you're not getting +800.
And by the way, I know this is technicalities, yeah. but if you had them at +800 and they get there, you could always hedge anyway and guarantee yourself that they're playing the Niners. Like
I hate that.
Me too, but I'm saying if you were like, oh, I think the Niners are going to win the game. If you had to pick a second team in the AFC, who would it be?
I would pick the Chiefs if I had to pick a second team, only because I don't think the Dolphins, I think the Dolphins just beat up the bad teams.
They've been better defensively, though, with Ramsey coming back. Like Miami yeah. would be my, I would take a flyer on Miami. I know the Chiefs, every time you count them out, they come back. I just at some point it's going to change. And this year they're losing to some questionable teams.
Well, what about the Dolphins? I mean,
I know I get it, but I think they're getting yeah. better. I think Miami's getting better. And
but here's the thing:
they've gotten worse.
But you say the Chiefs have lost to questionable teams.
I mean, they shouldn't be losing to the Packers.
Oh, well, but listen, the game's on the road, and the Packers are hot right now.
Yeah,
so
I know.
That's not a terrible one to me.
Did they lose to Denver or almost lost to Denver? Maybe I'm just thinking the covers. What's the Chiefs record?
They lost to Denver. They lost to Denver.
They did.
But that's not a terrible loss now.
Yeah. I know they lost to Detroit. It was at Denver. Yeah.
It was at Denver.
They got three or four losses.
Four. Lions, Broncos, Eagles, Packers. And the Packers and the Broncos were on the road, and those teams have turned their seasons around. So to me, those are not terrible losses.
You know, I'm going to throw out a team right now that might not even make the postseason in the AFC, but would probably be worth a flyer and you get a great value on it. I think Buffalo. Like, if you're making a case in the AFC for Baltimore, like, can you really tell me that there's no way Buffalo can compete with Baltimore? If they get in, I know their schedule's brutal, but they've been playing better. You know, that's a team. Like, same thing with Miami or even Kansas City. Like, the point is there's no clear cut in the AFC. Jacksonville right. with a bad loss last night.
I want to say this. I would take a flyer on for value.
Right.
I would take a flyer on Buffalo over Miami. Now, my thing with the Dolphins is, listen, you can only beat who you play. But these are the Dolphins' wins, okay? At Chargers, which I think is a good win. I'll give them that.
Early on it was, yeah.
Yeah. Patriots, Broncos at home. That was the 70-point game.
Yeah.
Giants, Panthers, Patriots, Raiders, Jets, Commanders. I mean, those last six aren't real teams.
Do they have a tough schedule? I know they play the Jets again. What else do they got? Buffalo again.
Titans,
right?
How about this? So the Dolphins still play the Cowboys, their last three games of the season, Cowboys, Ravens, Bills.
All right, so we're going to learn about them going
right
in.
Right. But I
By
think
the way, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I think the value is on Buffalo. I mean, excuse me, is on Baltimore plus 800 to win the Super Bowl.
The AFC, because specifically you're going to have to go against the Niners, and the NFC seems like a gauntlet. Do we have the Saturday, December 16th games yet? Is that the first Saturday? And we talked about it last week. Okay.
We got them. We got them.
Which are?
They are. Well, yeah, that's it, right. Minnesota at Cincinnati. That's a 1 o'clock game.
Mm.
All these games are on the NFL Network, by the way. That game's not terrible now because Browning can play, so the Bengals aren't dead.
Four thirty,
Steelers at Colts. And then at 8:15, Broncos at Lions.
By the way, I guess I'm saying but technically all six of those teams are alive.
Alive, yeah.
Yeah.
And Broncos
and
at Lions.
Not like, it's not like on the bubble alive. Like they're logistically, realistically in it.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
And I'll tell you this, I cannot wait. I cannot wait for Thursday night to bet under 30 in the Steelers-Patriots game.
The Patriots just can't score.
An
you
NFL,
think the Jets are bad. They're worse.
An NFL total of 30.
And you're betting the under?
Of course. The only
How
way there's a score
yeah.
The only way there's a score in that game is if TJ Watt gets a sack strip fumble and they kick a field goal.
I mean, that could happen.
That's it. There's no other way.
Pittsburgh will probably score a touchdown. But even so, you're talking like New England, no matter what, if they score 10, I'd be shocked.
Yeah, they're not getting to 10.
Yeah.
The only way they get to 10 is if there's a special teams play or a pick six, which can happen because the quarterbacks stink. But I'll take my chances that there's only one or two pick sixes and the game will go under 30. The Jet-Falcon total on Sunday was 33. I bet the under. I didn't have to sweat.
Yeah, it's unbelievable these unders cash out.
I have made so much money this year because I bet the under in every Jet game, every Steeler game, and every Patriot game.
And it stays true to form, yeah.
You know, it's funny. I always say how Instagram is very nice. You know, Twitter, everyone's an animal.
Mm-hmm.
But I got a nasty comment on Instagram yesterday, and I meant to bring it up for you because you'll find this amusing. I posted like a video of Gene Steratour. This was hilarious, by the way. I wrote about this on Monday. So in the Chargers-Patriots game, it's 6-0, 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter. I had the under and I had the Chargers. So I'm watching it just to see if the Chargers will cover the 4-point spread. It's the worst game you've ever seen. It's 6-0. And at one point, the Patriots throw a pass late, and the refs call pass interference. The Chargers challenge the play because they say the ball was tipped, and if the ball's tipped, no pass interference.
And it was tipped.
It was. The replay show it was tipped, but then they say the ball wasn't tipped, and the penalty stands. And Gene Steratore comes on and says, great job by the refs getting it right on the field, and great job by our replay people showing that the ball was tipped. And Spiro Dedis and Artem Archuleta have to be like, Gene, they blew the call. It was wrong. It's all wrong. So I posted that video on my Instagram.
Savage.
And someone left a comment like, your whole life is being a degenerate gambler. Wipe the buffalo sauce and chicken wings off your face and stop eating and gambling and something. So I looked at the guy's profile and he's like, reformed gambler and addict, reformed addiction, all about, you know, and looking out for people. So I'm like, well, wait a second. So you're a reformed addict and you're being nasty about me having a gambling and food addiction, number one. And number two, You're the only person who can vouch for me on this. I am a fat fuck, but Sal knows because we've got many arguments over this. I don't eat when I watch football. Which I want that on the record.
It's bizarre, but it is so true. I swear. And how many times over the years have we watched football together? I'm like, you sure you don't want, have a slice of pizza? Like, no. I order food. You just refuse to. Maybe Max, I've seen you eat a couple of corn chips and a slice of pizza.
Because I'm locked
in. You're right.
In.
You gamble
I'm
like an animal.
In. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm locked in. First of all, if I'm home, I 100% don't eat because I'm working the remotes. So I don't have the hands to eat. The hands are right. occupied with the remotes. And if right. I'm in your house, I'm my eyes are going all over those screens and I'm locked in. I can't be bothered with food.
Yeah.
But then after when the games are over, I eat like an animal. Oh my God, these people. A nasty comment on Instagram. It doesn't usually happen.
I think I have all my, unless I'm following you on Instagram, you can't comment on my stuff.
Like I said, 99.9% of every comment I get on Instagram is nice. It's the opposite of Twitter. The only other thing I wanted to tell you was, a couple of things. I went into the city Saturday. I usually go in once for the Christmas stuff. I take my nieces.
Yeah.
So I just have two things I want to say quickly. Number one, it was 55 degrees in New York City on Saturday. And because of that, every single person in the universe decided to go into the city and do the Christmas stuff.
Mm.
It was one of the worst days of my life. It wasn't crowded. It was another level. It was another level of, like, I've never seen anything like it in my life.
You mean like by the tree specifically or that area?
All of Midtown. Bryant Park, that's what, yeah. So I put this on Twitter on Saturday, but I want to get your take. So Saturday night, I go out to dinner with a group of friends. Same group, we go out to dinner every 3-4 months. And one of my buddies, my buddy Hal, he's a big eater and he's skinny. Drives me crazy. Skinny. For his dinner, he ordered a hamburger and a chicken sandwich. No sides, just the two sandwiches, okay. No fries. And he was alternating bites of each sandwich. And I said, this is deranged behavior. You eat one sandwich at a time, or you get a side you got to mix in. But this approach is just, and I put it on Twitter and I got the most hilarious responses. So I need to know how you would approach that.
Now that you say that, I did see that tweet and I remember thinking, interesting. I respect the innovative ordering and eating.
You have no idea how confused the waitress was. The poor woman didn't know when he was trying to order.
Wait, you want a hamburger and a chicken sandwich?
Yeah, she didn't know what was going on. The poor lady.
Oh my God. I don't mind it. It's actually like I've had plenty of fries before, so I know what they taste like. So if you go to a place that you want to try the burger and chicken sandwich, it makes some sense. However, you have to eat one at a time. You cannot alternate bites.
That's
what kind of person are you?
Exactly.
Order is fine.
Yeah.
Eating one bite at a time of each does not make much sense to me.
The entire it was a weird the whole night. I ordered a Caesar salad.
Mm.
And then a burger.
Yeah, you're a big salad guy now that I think about it when we go out to eat.
Yeah. So it was a place that was mainly burgers, known for burgers, the crazy wacky burgers. Mm. So we order and the server comes with the burgers for everyone. And I'm like, "Oh, excuse me, I never got my Caesar salad." And she's like, "Oh no, it's coming." And I'm like, "No, it's supposed to come before."
Right.
The burger.
Right.
Not with. And she made me out to be the crazy person. I'm going to be like, no, you're the crazy person. It's supposed to be salad, then the meal. But I give this place props because, as I've always said, every single restaurant that serves burgers, it should be mandatory. It should be a law that they all, that in addition to fries, they have tater tots on the menu. And this place had tater tots. So everyone was happy. Mm. Tater tots.
And your buddy orders two sandwiches and passes on tater tots?
No, it's fries, no tater tots, no sweet potato, nothing. Just the two sandwiches straight up.
Yeah, that's, again, I respect the innovative order. I cannot I can never. It's a bad move.
And my buddy's a very anti-social media person and was not thrilled when I put it on Twitter and then started reading all the replies at the table for an hour straight.
Well, I will say that as someone who's been on the other end of that, you do that. Oh, wait, let me read you one more. And I'm like, I don't want to hear the fucking comments. Oh, no, wait, one more.
You want me to read some? What kind of responses you have these? You want me to read them?
Yeah. No.
Well, but it's different. He's not on social media. What does he care if he's
getting? That is true. Yeah, that is true.
For you, it's different, you know. Yeah. All right, Sal. I guess that's it for this week. I don't think I have anything else. I've calmed down.
All right. Glad we got you in a better mood.
Yeah. All right. We'll see you next week. Take it easy.
All right.
Oh, wait.
Yeah.
If I ended here, people are going to just tear me a new asshole.
Oh, I know where we're going.
The house. What's the latest with the house? I can't believe I almost forgot.
Funny you should ask. Sunday morning. Okay. I actually was having a couple people over from the fan Sunday to watch football. We got notification Friday or Saturday that we had houses to look at Sunday morning. So I had to go 7 a.m. to Jersey.
Now that's stressful when you've got to go to Jersey, look at houses, knowing you need people are going to be out at 1 o'clock. That's correct. A stressful start to the day. Go ahead.
And it wasn't just like you were coming over. It was like, it was a big thing. Like I was planning, you know, 4 or 5 guys from the fan coming over or whatever.
Was it Joe Beningo there getting texts from Robert Sala?
No, I'll tell you though, you definitely want to be a fly on those walls down there. So we leave, my wife and I, 7 a.m., Jersey, see 2 houses, drive by 9 o'clock, drive all the way back at 10. So basically there for an hour, 2 houses, drive back, got back okay time, ordered the food, running a little late or whatever, but for the most part, made it in time for kickoff, no issues, setting up the TVs. Okay. And all
what time
bad.
Did you get back to your house?
I would say around 11:50-ish.
Oh, that's good. That's not bad. You got an hour then to get in. Okay.
But remember, I told guests to come at 12:30. So now you're talking, I got to get food. I got to get the games on. I got to prepare everything in a half hour window, basically.
See, if I was there, you wouldn't need the food.
Right, exactly. Half the battle. I was thinking of you. So Eddie Erickson, who we both know, he was there. He gets to the house before I'm there. And he knows I might be moving or whatever. He texts me, "Are you here?" And I go, "Yeah, you're not in Jersey? You didn't know I moved?" And I was fucking with him.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one.
And he's like, "Oh, I'm never coming to Jersey. I would have just turned right around." Anyway, so it was all good. And we did like one of the houses waiting on an offer. So
you put in a bid?
Yes.
Okay, good. All right, so maybe next week I'll have a house.
There you go. We'll see.
Let's get this wrapped up by Jan 1.
Hopefully. Yeah. We'll see.
All right. Maybe next week we'll have a house for sale. All right.
All right.
Take it easy.
Talk to you later.
All right. Bye. All right. My many, many thanks to Booger McFarlane and Sal Licata. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode. If you did, leave a review on Apple and make sure you are a subscriber to SI Media with Jimmy Trina if you are not already one. And if you've missed any recent episodes, dip into the archives. You could check out past episodes. We recently had on Mike Tirico last week from NBC Sunday Night Football. Mike North, NFL VP of Broadcast Planning, was on the podcast 2 weeks ago to discuss NFL scheduling issues for the remainder of the season. And the great Ian Eagle was on the podcast 3 weeks ago. So if you missed those interviews, check them out. Leave a review on Apple and subscribe to SI Media with Jimmy Trina. All right, we'll see you next week. Stay safe and take care.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Tired of pickup truck bed chaos? Meet Decked. Game-changing USA-made full bed-length drawers for tools and gear. Waterproof, dustproof, lockable, secure. Whether you're working, hunting, fishing, camping, or just getting out of town. And introducing Decked Deco Cases. Tough, modular, problem-solving cases built for the truck, job site, campsite, or garage. Say goodbye to random bins and tie-downs. Order now at Decked.com/iHeart for free shipping. Decked. Your truck, your rules. Decked.com/iHeart.